What's good? Welcome back to Agitator, the only freestyle storytelling podcast starring two mystic juggalo weebs. Today on the show, we're back to our roots. We're back into how, man, I really didn't even think about this. How long has it been since we talked to Mike Joint?
Was it Onimusha, the last one?
Okay, so not too long ago. I
Yeah,
keep
it was
forgetting he directed, that's his first anime. I keep forgetting that was Mike. But yeah.
Onimusha, and then Connect was the one before that with
Yeah,
Adam.
which was a while back.
That was a while back. Yeah. And Lumberjack the Monster will be out in June, July,
I'm
something
hyped
like
for
that.
that. I'm hyped
Something
for
like that.
that. That
Yeah.
trailer's been, well, that movie's been out for a minute now, hasn't it?
Well, the
Like in
yeah,
Japan.
right. Yeah. In Japan, yeah. The trailer came out, I think, like
I saw it
2022.
forever ago. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
years.
Yeah. Monster versus serial killer. Is that what it is? It's serial killer versus psychopath or something like that. I forget what it is.
I don't remember the tagline, but that's basically the premise. You
Is it
got.
you get these like two kind of archetypal movie bad guys, and you pit them against each other.
That's going to be a good one. But tonight we're talking 2014's As the Gods Will. This is Mike's Battle Royale mixed with Zebra Man. I got a lot of Zebra Man vibes, even though up top I'll say I consider Zebra Man like a masterpiece, probably the best superhero movie. As the Gods Will is more of a rent it, as Siskel and
It's
Ebert would say.
yeah, man. It's a swing and a miss. It's a swing and a miss, but what a swing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's so
It's like
much.
a swing. You know how in batter's practice they have like the five bats and they're just working with that weight? It's like that kind of swing. You know what I mean?
What was that? Angels in the Outfield, where they have that bit, the dudes by the cage, and he's swinging like five bats, and
Oh
then
yeah.
tosses four of them to run up with his one when it's his turn.
That was a classic movie. I got to go back and watch that one. God,
Joseph
if there is a
Gordon-Levitt
God
at the peak of his career.
at the absolute peak. But yeah, I mean, Angels in the Outfield and God as the Gods Will is basically the same movie if you think
Basically,
about
a
it.
swing and a miss.
Oh
But
man, yeah.
touched by God,
Touched by
the God,
the one and only. So I
Takashi.
didn't research this at all. Welcome to Agitator, folks. If you didn't know this, Kelby and I, we're not researchers.
If you
We're
stumbled into an As the Gods Will episode, what kind of freak are you?
dude, man, I mean, we're still unpacking the mystery of why the Crow Zero episode is our most
That's
popular
true.
podcast of all
That's
time. So
true.
who knows?
There's
Maybe people are
it's
just waiting. They're
the
waiting for
quality of
somebody.
shit. It's like dee, 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 dee. There's that buzzing shit from me recording in the car. Fucking an hour of talking of Marcus Arif. I mean, the quality of the show is great. It's like peak, but I can just imagine. Oh, Crow Zero, I'm such a fan. Wow, they're talking for an hour about immigration and Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah. And we did. And they loved it, apparently. So I'm pretty sure this is a manga. And I'm guessing about that based off of the ending, because Miike does this sometimes when he adapts things. Specifically Yakuza Like a Dragon comes to mind, which Yakuza Like a Dragon, think like picture Dead or Alive Light with like at the end of the movie, three things from the game just thrown in. Just out of it. He's like, and by the way, this is the intellectual property Yakuza, the game series.
Yeah.
That's how the end felt to me, at
Yeah,
least.
the end felt like Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. And it is a manga. I didn't look that deeply into it. I ain't read the manga. But the ending of As the Gods Will felt to me like if you knew nothing about the Marvel movies and how they're all interconnected and have those wink wink, this is gonna, hey, look, it's Thor's hammer there.
Yeah.
And you watch like the end of one of those, you'd be like, the fuck was that? It's just
Yeah,
a.
it's Thor's hammer, but nobody has ever heard of Thor
Yeah, you don't
ever.
know who Thor is. So you're just like,
Yeah.
why'd this movie end with a hammer in the desert? Like, what the
Yeah.
fuck?
And Mieke's like, oh, they're gonna love this when they
Yeah.
see when they see the hammer.
Yeah.
But let's run it back from the top. What is this movie about, Kelby?
Aliens kidnap a school of children, put them in a cube that hovers over Tokyo, I think,
Yeah, I think so too.
and makes them, it's like a Saw thing slash battle royale. They gotta, fight through these different games. The games are like, so they're all different. We'll break down the games one by one. So like it's not really battle royale in that they gotta like go and kill each other, but all these games are rigged for a lot of kids to die.
Yeah.
And
And it gets right into it, right off rip.
oh, right off rip,
Just starts with it.
I was confused for a minute because it does a couple little flashback things. So I was like, okay, are we back before the shit's happening? But then it just goes right back into the bloodbath. And it starts off with this little, I don't know what any of these games are
That's
or these
called
references
a
are, except
that's
the cat, the my Maniki, whatever the fuck.
That first thing is called a Daruma doll.
Daruma. Oh yeah. Daruma. Yeah. So it's this angry face. If you've seen Three Ninjas, you've seen the face, the mask, the little angry Japanese dude.
The mask that's going. Yeah. You can hear it. I might not have done that well, but you all know what I meant, and it's
Yep.
not racist.
No, that was
Get off my
perfect.
ass.
It was on point. Welcome to Agitator, the only racist
Thanks for coming on last week, Shannon. Appreciate it.
anime podcast. we're the most diverse podcast, actually. We never rub it in people's faces, but like
Oh, we are. Hands
low
down.
key, look at our guest list. So yeah, Daruma is like this angry Japanese face ball with a timer and a button that you have to press. He turns around at the front of the classroom and says Daruma. And you never know how long he's gonna drag it out. He plays with you. He's a little trickster. And when he spins around and faces you, whoever's moving explodes.
Their head explodes. Yeah, it's red light, green light.
Yeah. Red light. That's what Daruma means. And
Yeah, 100%. What's interesting too, the reason why I was so excited for this movie, I was telling you before we started the show that I did watch the opener to this and then kind of hit a brick wall right after that because the flashbacks were so slow and boring to me. But it starts off so brilliantly because the way he sets up this cartoonish head explosion violence is that when the heads explode, the blood turns into red marbles. So you're trying to play red light, green light, and as more people die, like the floor is filling up with marbles. It's got this wacky slapstick element to it
Yeah,
where you're
everybody's
trying to go and
slipping
you're like,
around.
woo, 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 woo.
Slapstick is the perfect vibe for this movie too, because like thinking of like the obvious comparison is Battle Royale, but Battle Royale is so grim,
Mm-hmm.
even though it's got like a lot of fun moments. Like, it's dark,
Yeah.
and this movie is just silly as shit with a whole kids dying left and right in increasingly gory ways.
Yeah, and so basically our hero is very frightened of this, obviously. He doesn't know what to do. He says in a voiceover that he hated his boring life and wished that something interesting would happen. But now that it's happening, he wishes that he could go back to being bored and playing Resident Evil 4 on his couch, right? But he's got a friend who's the student body president or something, and he's this guy who, like, he's like, I figured it out, I got it all figured out. It's red light, green light, and there's a button on the back of this Daruma doll. So what we need to do, I'm going to get down on all fours because we're down to like 10 seconds now. You're going to launch yourself at the Daruma doll and hit the button and we'll be saved. They do it. Student body president stands up, gives him a thumbs up in a really funny way where he holds his fist out and then slowly puts his thumb up, right? Which is the way I'm going to do it from now on. And then his head explodes. And it's really funny because he's headless and he's whipping around, and then the thumbs up goes to a middle finger, and then he falls over because only one person could survive the game. That's what they didn't know. So these aliens, gods, whatever you want to call them, are forcing high school kids to play deadly versions of children's games, but they're always kind of lying to them and tricking them. And the characters who survive are the ones that are able to figure out the tricks. So the next one is that good luck cat that you see everywhere,
Yeah,
right?
the Maniki
With
Neko.
the, yeah, the Maniki, what? Excuse me?
What? The Maniki Reddit? Is
Yeah.
that the placeholder word these days?
Boo. But this basically, they go to the gym and there's this paint scrawled on the floor that says, dress up like a mouse so the cat can chase you, right? And this enormous cat comes out, and you've got all these people who put on Mickey Mouse costumes with big, goofy circle ears. And the cat comes out and just starts eating them. And the game there is they're trying to shoot a bell, right? Like you'd put on your pet, a bell like a basketball through a hoop that's in the cat's neck. And in classic manga anime fashion, the stakes escalate and their plans fail, and they have to go back and figure out what they did wrong. And that one's a bit longer. It's a 10-minute sequence.
That was my
Although
favorite game, I think, of all of them.
I really liked the one that came right after that. So the survivors of the cat, which is where we're introduced to like the psycho character who just likes beating up people for fun. And you know, he's a crazy lunatic who's also who has the classic Miike line in it where he said, you know, killing and love are the same thing. I was like, ah, it's a Miike
There it
movie. There
is.
we
There it
go. There
is.
it is. He
Yeah.
said the line. The one right after that, they wake up in the aforementioned floating cube and they're forced to play a game which basically goes like this. You blindfold yourself and four creepy floating wooden dolls float around you singing a song. And then when they stop, you have to guess which doll is behind you. And this is the moment that probably has the most shocking bit of gore in it, like where the gore stops being slapstick and funny. And it's this incredible tonal shift in the middle of the movie where the first guy who fails, he's like a physics master. He's like writing in calculus, which I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but we'll go with it. He fails the test. They shoot a laser beam into his head, and then he starts bashing his own head in. And it's yucky. Like there's squelching, melon breaking sounds and blood going everywhere. But the girl who fails next, because she's too scared to try to answer, the dolls basically like make her do a front splits and then like keep yanking her legs. And you don't see her come apart like a wishbone, But there's this great shot up above her where you hear the sounds and you see the blood pooling out from like where she's being split open. And I was like, that's why this movie has like a 3-star on Crunchyroll, because people probably got to that scene and they were like, that wasn't fun at all. That was actually really upsetting and not very nice. And it's such a weird thing to put dead center in a movie that is, even after that, really, I mean, kind of goofy, you
Can,
know?
yeah, because that's also kind of a long game that they play that, well, I guess right afterwards, there's a slightly, I guess you could consider it a different game that takes place afterwards with the keys. Even though it kind of feels like a continuation, but the polar bear
Yeah,
is like right after that.
snowboarding polar
This
bear that says he hates
CGI,
liars.
not just CGI, but like, I guess PS1 would be the easiest way to describe the look of this bear. If you've ever played those little computer games that just come on a lot of computers, and I think a lot of them are even like polar bear bowling or something like that. It looks like that shit. And that's what followed. Well, a lot of the CGI is actually my favorite part of this movie. Or
Me
one of
too.
my, like, one of the best bits of
It's
this movie is.
it is exactly at the level that CGI should be at, where it looks fake, but it's also cool and fun and creepy.
It's such a hard thing to. This is the thing that. That's why it reminded me of Zebra Man, because that's also a great example of where CGI should just stop. It doesn't look uncanny because it's not trying to be real, and it doesn't look so bad that it's just like what is the difference between this CGI and something like Sharknado? Like, I can't stand Sharknado. I think it looks terrible.
Yeah, I think that is a very good question, but I think that it looks more terrible because it's thrown together by people who don't give a shit. See, I think you have to actually care. I think what we're talking about is a matter of technological limitation leading to brilliance rather than, you know, so that begs the question, can you do this kind of thing on purpose? Or if you go into it with the capability of using Unreal 5 or something to make, you know, CGI that looks pretty good,
Yeah.
can you willingly take a step back and make it look worse? It's a tough question.
That's
I don't know.
true, 'cause Mike is just a good worker. We've seen, and whenever he gets a big budget, he uses it. He's
He
like,
does.
"Oh, cool. I'm making a mainstream movie. This is going to look slick as shit." And like First Love is a good example. There's no CGI in that one, but even the latest iPhone movie he shot was like
Did we talk
this.
about it? We did talk about his iPhone movie.
I don't remember if I don't remember what episode that was, because I don't think we.
It was a few back. We had a guest, I think. Did we?
Is that the movie we were, is that what we were talking about on the episode? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I don't know what we do on this show anymore. We just show up
I
and.
erase it from my mind as soon as we stop recording and I move on with my life.
Which is exactly what people should do when they stop listening. Just, take the good lessons and put that into your soul. Forget where you heard it from. Stop keeping tabs on us and
And
move
send us
on
money too, by
with
the
your
way.
life. And send us money while you're at it. Patreon.com/agitator. There will be short films up there soon, by the way. Both short films we shot in Kansas City are just down to sound shit, which you don't want to just half-ass. So just got to get a
Sound is
moment
important.
where I can make that
Oh,
shit happen.
this is as good a place as any, but the first full-length Agitator Films co-production is a green light. So sharp end of a buck knife. I got the go-ahead to call that an Agitator Films
Let's
movie.
fucking go.
Yeah.
Let's
So
go.
I wrote a script for Spencer, Death Curse Comics, really cool guy. He's worked a lot with Low Res on stuff. And so him and Low Res wanted me to write a script for something that they could shoot relatively quickly and that would have a suitable amount of gore. And so I wrote Berserker Club, and Low Res hit me back, and he had really nice, actually, he didn't hit me, but people sent me what he said about it. And he had really nice things to say about it. He said, I number one, I can't believe that he wrote this quickly, right? Because he saw the first draft and then the second draft pop up 2 days later. And he
Well, you
said,
already
you
had
know,
a
this
first
is,
draft.
I
I
mean,
mean, why'd
yeah.
it take you 2 days to clean
Why did
it?
you
What'd you take a
slacker?
nap?
You know I love my naps. But he said it was one of the best scripts that he'd read, and but that it was also completely insane. And it was just determined to be a little bit too high budget. Maybe one day we'll get back to, actually, why would I say maybe? One day we'll get to it. But you know, it's got people transforming into monsters. I don't know what I was thinking they were gonna do about those monsters.
Hey, you were just, pushing that brilliance button.
Yeah, pushing the brilliance button and seeing what happens.
It's that
So
Mike mindset. Make it happen.
Spencer came back with an idea, and I don't exactly want to say what the idea is quite yet. It was a really good concept, but I wrote a script for that, and the reaction to that was the complete opposite. They hated that one. They were like, no, not. So then I went back. I was like, okay, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're getting the full hot. They're giving you the full Hollywood experience.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I got the Goldilocks with the next draft because and I added in an ending that I'm very happy with that is totally me gay. It's totally weird and gross. And they,
Yeah,
it's a go. It shoots in July.
I'm
So,
glad they were just like, yeah, cool.
yeah.
'Cause yeah, that ending, I was like, oh shit. We were texting about it that because the Broken River chat, for those who don't know, we share everything in progress that we're doing, and we were like, man, this would be so tight to actually end up in the movie, as if they were already going to be like, nah.
I thought they were gonna take that part out, but I think, well, I think the point is, if listeners want like a takeaway from that, when people ask you to write something, just swing for the fences and write whatever, because we'll have to get Low Res on so I can ask him this to his face, but I don't actually know what I did right and what I did wrong. And so, I mean, I get the expensive part for the first draft, but like in the first one, well, that's not true. Spencer gave me good notes about, like, you know, it gets into the action too fast and we need more build up here. And so, I mean, and he's right, I did fuck that part up. But yeah, I mean, you just don't know until you actually write it. And then
Well, and when you're doing something for somebody else too, it's just like sticking to a vision. That's when you're the worker writer. Do whatever you want, throw your shit in there. I mean, it's you writing it, but when they come back, like you get into the action too fast. You might have
All
had a
right.
vision that was like, yeah, that's the point, but they're the ones shooting it, so
Yeah,
slow
I
it
do what they
down.
want.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow it down, buddy. Exactly, which I was happy to do. And I think that one took me a lot longer to write because I was working with somebody else's concept, but I think eventually, I think I'll learn to stop doing this. But like with Berserker Club, I was not in my head at all. I was like, this is a really cool opportunity. I'm gonna have fun and pump this script out. With a sharp end of a buck knife, I got into my head and I started trying to guess what they wanted, right?
That
And
never
then
works.
it never works. And so when I turned in my shit draft to them and they were like, no, and here's why. At least then I had direction, and then I busted that script out in a day. Thank you very much. I did not nap that time, but like, but I could have fucking turned in a shitty draft a month and a half ago, gotten the same notes back, and then been done with it. You see what I mean? Like, So really cool experience. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with it. They had wanted me to direct it at first too, but unfortunately I got a, well, not unfortunately, I just got a new job and it's going to take up a lot of my time.
Yeah,
So I'm
going
not
up to what, Virginia or something? Would have
to
been,
shoot the movie. It would have been going to Virginia to shoot it, and that was exciting. And I bought Robert Rodriguez's book on how to make movies with no money, and I was like, cool, I'll give it the old college try. Same mindset, right? But then that job opportunity came along, and it was,
That's where we're at. Yeah.
I can't go to my wife and say, look, babe, look, I know that I you yes, there's that many zeros in this job, but I could make a movie.
Yeah, I could go up and shoot a movie with the boys. She'd be like, oh, how much you getting off of that? Well, see, we're working with like a really small budget and like
That's exactly what Spencer said too when I told him. He was like, all right, cool, I'll find somebody new, because when I explained to him, he's like, I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
you
That
have to
makes sense.
be responsible. That's the point
Responsible.
we're at too. You know, there's well, we were talking for a little while about, you know, if you've been following along, you've heard of like the county brought up the TV series that at one point had some backing to it, and then, you know, that kind of turned into just not happening, which I think anybody who's worked in film apparently is used to that kind of shit. But yeah, so other things have been being pursued because, you know, we gotta get the money coming in. And still, just from the trickle of like how that was almost a thing, people like, oh, but we can still make this that happen. Like, that's cute. I have children. It's like I'm getting really tired. I'm getting to the age of like I don't want to work with anybody who doesn't have kids.
Oh, dude, you're speaking my language. I said that in the chat a few months ago, and I was like, or a few weeks ago rather. And what we mean by that is just when you don't have kid, like if I didn't have kids right now, well, honestly, I probably still would have taken this job, but because it's that good. But you can do a lot more, you know? Like you're just, if you have a girlfriend, right, or a wife, and she's cool with it, then sure, why
Yeah.
not?
And then
But
especially if you don't, it's like, well, what's the worst that could happen? You end up homeless. Who cares? Make a movie.
yeah,
It's like,
which has
oof.
happened to both of us in the past, and it was like, all
Yeah.
right,
Yeah, I've lived out of my car. Like,
yeah, it's like it's fine.
and that
My
was not
buddies
the
have
worst time of
couches.
my life.
It had, we talk in the chat a lot about being wistful for like the worst times in our life. And it's weird, right? You really do. You kind of get, you look back on it and you think that was objectively not good. But there's a small part of you that was like, but
I
at the
didn't have all these
time,
bleeding ulcers either.
but at the time you were just high all the time. So it was fun at the time.
Yeah.
You just have to pay the bill eventually. But so yeah, that's cool. Also, I guess this is going to be like the extended middle section of the podcast, but also because of that job, I'm going to do a few more episodes and then I'm going to take a 3 month break. I am coming back. It's just one of those things where my job is in a city that's about an hour and a half away from where we live, and we can't get out of our apartment lease and yada yada yada. So I got to drive back and forth, and I'm just not going to have the time to do it just for 3 months. Once we get into our new place, I'll be back in the saddle. But that's a lost explorers and agitator across the board. I got to go underground for a quarter and reemerge as a beautiful, rich butterfly.
Everyone in New York and LA right now is like, so, what is, I don't get it.
Oh, true, true, true.
Takes me an hour and a half to get anywhere.
No, so true, so true. Again, if you have kids, right? So like
No, I get
it's
it because we're.
it's long story short, it's gonna be like 12-hour days, and
And
once I
that's
can
just
get
the work
those,
side. That's the 12 hour just on the work side.
so I mean, I'm gonna be, people sometimes say that they're busy, but they're kind of fucking around. I'm literally like, I probably won't even be in the chat very much.
You
Do you
know
know what I
how you
mean?
can, yeah, I was about to say, you know how you can tell a motherfucker is actually busy? How they react to how long it takes you to text back. Like anytime somebody that I'm working on really, really important shit with right now took, well, he texted me back same day, so that's not even, that's doing better than my batting average. But he took like 9 hours to respond to some business shit I sent him. And he was like, my bad, my bad. And I was just like,
You're
bro,
working, dude.
don't sweat it. Like, like, I know how it goes.
So it's one of those things. Also, what I'm going to attempt to use that time for too is I'm gonna try to write more, and I'm gonna see how much I can actually get written if I'm not podcasting. Now, I know, people who talk about, who do a lot of podcasting, they might think like, well, just podcast and work and have a family and write. It's something's got to give, but I'm really hot on this book that I'm writing right now, and I think I'm getting to the place where I admire you and Simmons being able to write on your phone. I write on my phone too now. But where I get the best work done, I got not even 2 hours, dude. Like an hour 15 of just sitting. And I'm beginning to think that that's actually part of my process, right? Is like I open up Microsoft Word, I put my phone in my sock drawer. I don't listen to music. I don't watch videos. I don't do shit, but just sit there and look and think. And then all of a sudden, in like the first hour is that. And then the last 15 minutes is me writing 1,000 words, just all coming out. I think that might be my process. So the trick to that, and I understand why David Lynch abandoned his children, is that if that's interrupted, you got to start over again.
That's why I've done so much writing, putting, and that's also why I like putting the kids to bed. Well, Rowan is just like, hey, go to bed, good night. But as babies, like I did this with Rowan, and I've done a lot of writing with Phoenix this way too, where it's just like rocking them, getting into that zone. And this is where I kind of mix your method and then the phone thing, because like I think a lot of times when you talk about phone writing, people imagine you standing in line or like in the car or getting your oil
I've never done
changed,
that. I've never
walking
done that.
around, whatever. But no, it's just like, I mean, the phone is there and I'm constantly bouncing around. Who knows? I'm doing this and that. But I'm sitting there, I'm locked into the zone. He's finally asleep. And then it's like, boom, whip the phone out, like stay there in the dark, no sound. And then just go.
It is the, to bring David Lynch back into it, it's the catching the big fish idea. And when he's coming up with his ideas, he meditates first and he compares it to fishing, where he's casting a line and seeing what comes up, what ideas come up. And I think Simmons does it standing in line. Because when I told him that I started writing on my phone, he was like, "See, bro, now you can write when you standing in line at the DMV." And I'm like, "You're a psycho.
I
I don't know
admire that so much.
I don't know how you do that shit, bro." But like, for me, I gotta get into it. And maybe it's just like, We'll have to get Simmons on to actually ask him this and give people sauce about it, because it's got to come from just like streamlining that. You know, like how Neo had to jack into the Matrix for a while, and then couldn't he eventually just go into it without jacking in? It's like that. I'm still jacking in
Jacking in and jacking off.
and
But
jacking off.
yeah, I think Simmons wants is in he's in that desperate mode to just be a writer. Well, I mean, we kind of all are, but
He's not playing around.
he is not fucking around at all. Like,
Who
and
wants
Sim
his books? He's got, wait, has he announced stuff? I don't want to say anything that, like, I just
Apocalypse
want.
Party has been vocal about.
What about the other one?
No, I don't think
Okay,
so.
I won't say shit then. But he's got books coming out on presses. And he's just boom, 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 boom.
He also,
Because
I don't know if any of those places know any of these details, but he just like he's another first draft writer, just like, you know. I mean, he brings up the, you know, he's always like, oh, I want David to hit it with the edit. And I know you do, but you know,
kind of.
kind, I mean,
There's not much to change. I mean, when I edit, editing David Simmons is reading the book and
it's kind
not
of like
really,
adding shit.
it's adding shit. It's not cutting anything. It's just, hey, here you have an opportunity to flesh this out, or, you know, in Ghosts of East, right? Like, make him do a Bloodborne monologue while he's dying. And Simmons is like, okay, bet. Next day, boom. What do you think of this? He's fast too. Like, he hits me back on the email. Like, I'll send him the note and he sends back the email with the updated draft. And then he'll send another email and be like, did you get it? I'll be like, yeah, did. But he's quick. He's quick. And that dude is going to make it. Well, we're all going to make it. Everybody in Broken River is going to make it. But oh, by the way, we got to talk about, let's finish up As the Gods Will, and then let's talk about Broken River friend, guest on the pod, Broken River brother, I should say, because he's part of the squad, Grant, and his psycho ex who made the news. We got to talk
All
about that.
right. It's going to get dark. Speaking of dead children, too soon. As the gods will. That's the most fucked up joke I've ever told.
One thing that we mentioned before. Okay, so just to wrap it up, right? The last game is kick the can. The hero basically, finds the fortitude within himself to sacrifice himself for the greater good. But he doesn't. He doesn't because they were lying, right? Like, they told him if he kicked the can, everybody else would live, but he would die. That was a lie. And then I actually think this is brilliant, but this will get into the criticism portion, right? Because what happens after that is that three characters die because they're given ice cream at the end, and two of them live and three of them die. And the big reveal is that the Matryoshka doll, which is the final alien bad guy, whatever, says, you've used intelligence, you've used strength, you've used ingenuity to survive, but you forget one important thing, luck, right? I really like that. But from a storytelling perspective, that is a wild thing to do at the end of your movie. An absolutely wild thing. Did you have anything to add about the plot before we get into the critique?
No, I mean it's a bunch of dead kids playing game or a bunch of kids playing games where they all end up dead. They're very interesting. So if that's kind of your thing, if you like the torture porn or you like the bloody game genre, then that's what it is. So
Right on.
yeah, it's not much of a
Crit
plot to which is
criticism
where
time.
some of my criticism comes in. I'm not a torture porn fan. Battle Royale gets away with it by being, and for the longest, my memory of Battle Royale was that I didn't re it was all right. You know, it's considered like, you know, it's like top
A classic.
shelf of this
Yeah.
genre, classic.
Right.
And I was
Right.
like, yeah, it's all right. When we went back to it, I found a lot more to love. I was like, oh, the first battle royale kicks ass. Like, there's a lot going on here.
100%, yeah.
But this one is just no, it's another one of those type of movies with a lot of Mikeisms. So
Right.
it's
I
fun.
want to unpack really quickly the torture porn label. I think what people are criticizing when they say torture porn is the lack of character agency involved in the story, right? And this really has that. So this is kind of a tough story to pull off from a storytelling perspective, because you want your main character to be using ingenuity, right? Which they do kind of eventually. But you want there to be a sense of progress. And what's really hard about a story like As the Gods Will is that this is 100% a story about things happening to characters,
I mean, it's
not,
called As the Gods Will. And it's like, what will
yeah.
happen? Anything they want to.
Anything they want.
And they'll
Yeah.
just lie to you. They'll
People
change
are
the
being toyed
rules.
with. Yeah, exactly. So by the end of it, when our hero puts on the rusted suit of armor, which is a great visual gag, right? He comes out as a knight, but it's all rusted, so he can't really move. At that point, you kind of cheer because you're like, cool, he's taken the bull by the horn and he's controlling this shit. He's gonna kick that can. Up to that point, they use their brains to survive, but there's no sense that I feel like if this were an American movie, and I feel like the writers would probably have made them start to fuck with the game. You know what I mean? Because as Americans, as more individualistic people, that bleeds
We're
into
all
our
about that
storytelling.
agency.
We're about the agency. And so halfway through, once they get to the cube, they'd find something. They'd be like, oh, it turns out if you look under this flap, there's a tunnel. And then they would go into the tunnel and start fucking up the, but this is a Japanese movie called As the Gods Will. That never happens. At every step of this movie, they are at the mercy of these sadistic gods, basically. And as an American,
No, that's a good
it
point
feels
'cause they're
weird. You
always
see what I'm
like,
saying?
we have to figure out the rules and then we have to play by the rules. And
By the
Americans
rules.
would be like, fuck that. I'm
Yeah.
gonna kill these gods. I'm gonna
And so.
cheat. I'm gonna do whatever to win.
And so this movie does a few things, I think, that really slows down the pacing. The first thing that it does is that it will have these flashbacks that are solely character building flashbacks, but the problem with them, let me give you a good example. So there's a love interest. There's two love interests for the hero, right? The one that dies is a girl who is suicidal because she's being bullied. And she goes up onto a roof during a thunderstorm, intent on killing herself, when she starts to hear pottery shattering. And she finds our hero who is throwing pottery at a wall as a stress relief, right? And he says, you should try it. And so she picks up the pottery. And she begins to throw it, and he says, feels good, right? And she goes, yeah. So she's throwing more and more and more and more and more. Perfectly fine character development for a character who dies two scenes later. Now, how do you do this? It doesn't mean you don't have this scene, but the way that you keep a viewer or a reader involved here, the protagonist would have had to have developed as well. So you have to pull double duty. Something
No,
about him
right,
would have to
because
change.
exactly. I felt so much more attached to her, and when she dies, I was like, why couldn't he have died? What the fuck is going on with him? Like,
Because he's just watching her. You see what I mean? Like, so you want, and also because he is the POV character, he's the one whose face we know, and we know he's the hero, right? If you're gonna have a scene that develops another character, you have to develop the POV character as well. You have to. Or else subconsciously the Western viewer becomes confused and lost.
Yeah, Japanese
Why are we
people,
watching
fix
this?
your movies.
Yeah, fix your movies, dumbass.
But
And
one
the
of the things that like oh yeah, get back
no no
into
no
it.
no no go go ahead
One
go
of the
ahead.
things that made me like love it's I have such an interesting, a complicated relationship with movies like this, where I love a middle of the road Mickey movie. Now it's a 3-star movie. It's a C-grade movie.
Right.
But I respect him so much for that because it looks like a Mikke joint. It's got, a
It's
lot
got
of
all
the
the isms.
trappings. It's got the Mikke-isms. So it's not him just going, yeah, I'll do this for a paycheck. I'll phone it in. He doesn't phone it in. That's what's so respectable. But he also accepts that he's making a C-grade movie and he just does it. And that is something when as we're talking East and West shit, you don't see in Western cinema. You got
Right.
Martin
And
Scorsese's ass being like, I need to take 15 years to make another movie because, or even when it's 2 years in between, it's always like Oscar bait, Oscar bait, Oscar bait. And it's like, bro, just make a fucking Dumb and Dumber. Like
yeah, what if
Scorsese
they,
should.
yeah, what if
What
they
if you do
handed him
Dumb and
Ace
Dumber?
Ventura, you know? Yeah. I love that. I love this idea, by the way. Side note, Ace Ventura reminded me of this. The original version of The Mask, do you remember The Mask? Was supposed to be like they were trying to create a horror character on the level of Freddy Krueger, right?
I can
So
see that.
the first version of The Mask is that he's like a psychopathic killer in a yellow fucking zoot suit with a mask that can transform his face, and the original script is gory as fuck. And
Yeah,
some
like
things
Dick
in the
Tracy
movie.
with the tone of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Exactly. Dick Tracy meets Elm Street is perfect. And you can, when you watch the 1994 Jim Carrey comedy, you can tell that some stuff slipped through, which is why that movie's always felt really dark to me. Because he does kill people.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I love what you said about this idea that Miike is a director who he's gonna bring, he's going to, like, if you think about like what's being brought to the table, he's there 100% for whatever he's doing.
Oh,
Now, if the
you know,
project aligns, go ahead.
this ties in with your agency thing. So like keep pulling that thread, but like yeah, on the agency tip, it's like within the story that I mean, I get they're Japanese, but I want to see some character agency outside of who like how you're making the shit.
Agency.
When you're in If you're writing a book, you can do whatever the fuck you want. If you're part of a collaboration, and especially if you're the director, it's like, here's the movie, you make it happen. Miike has agency in the sense that you can feel it's a Miike joint, but he just does it. He's like, cool, yeah, this is what we're doing.
I got
I'm
you.
not subverting it, I'm not elevating it, I'm not like, oh yeah, this B movie about kids killing, about a bunch of kids dying. That's what we're doing. Cool.
Bro, even Onimusha felt Miike. It felt
Yeah.
like Miike, and that's
An
anime.
anime. Yeah.
I really like that. So I really like this idea of, sometimes it's almost like the perfect project is this pendulum that's swinging back and forth, and he's got like this telescope that's looking at the pendulum, and he's going to shoot that telescope at full blast even when the pendulum is swinging way over here, and the result is going to be somewhere in the middle. It's like a C, right? But every once in a while, Audition, Itchy the Killer, Blade of the Immortal, Zebra Man, that pendulum's going to go bloop. He's going to lock in and he's going to fire, and you're going to get a classic out of it. But
Have you
that's the
ever
way
heard
to do it.
interviews with him reflecting back on any of his shit? Or like when
Yeah.
a
Which one?
well, there was one where they brought it. It was the first time, and he claims the only time he'd seen Itchy the Killer since it came out, which was like decades. This was kind of recent. And he was like,
Cap.
I haven't seen it since, it came out.
That's cap.
I don't rewatch my movies. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I mean, come on, bro. That's like your not just your best movie, but like the best movie ever. You never pop that
Yeah.
shit in. But
I know I would watch that
yeah.
shit back, be like, ooh, I was cooking.
But of course, if we take his word, he just they're all the same. They're all the same movie. He's showing up to make the movie. And he's there to have fun. He's there to do it right. And he's there to, bring what he brings to the table and then go make another movie.
I love that. I fucking love this man so much. Pause. But I do. I love that attitude about everything. It's really where I want to be. Not as a filmmaker necessarily, but as a writer. Stephen Graham Jones, dude. Mike and Jones, those are the two that I can think of where it's again, it's that pendulum, right? So like the pendulum might be way out here, and the idea is flush boy. You're gonna get that C grade Jones,
Man,
right?
and C. Grade Jones is so good too because
It still slaps.
I
It still
fucking love
slaps.
Flesh Boy.
And then it's gonna line up, boom, Lead Feather, Only Good Indians, Nolan Dugatti, laser beam straight through.
And
A
that
few
type of
other.
creator too makes the things that a lot of people, because to a lot of people, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Nolan Dugatti belongs next to Flesh Boy. But you go like, no, that's the
No.
best one. What are you
That's the
talking
best
about?
one. That's the best one. And nobody knows about that book.
I
Somebody
don't
should
think any.
republish
I
that.
told him recently. Yeah, it's not published, I guess. Hasn't been for fucking years.
For a
I
long
brought that
time.
up not too long ago, and he was like, God damn, how do you have this book?
We're OG stands, bro.
OG day ones.
Day ones. A few other criticisms I have are the subplots, okay? Now, I think if it were me doing these, because there's basically you cut from the characters in the Battle Royale situation back to, like people freaking out and the world like going crazy, and there's a guy with kooky hair on TV who's talking about like these are aliens that have come to kill us because of our destruction of our planet, and there's our boy in a fucking killer cameo. Itchy's in the movie. The guy who plays Itchy is the nose bleeding hoarder who is figuring something out, and then at the end of the movie gets a big ass Bowie knife and a hardback edition of Hentai and is like, I'm going to save the world. Great scene, but I would have actually gone into those a little bit more and made them work as self-contained scenes.
And
Like I
give
would have
us
had a
the
closed loop.
payoff too.
Yeah, I would have had it like for the scientist guy, I would have had him, he definitely would have died somehow, right? Like he would have tried to get into the cube and gotten, I don't know, blown up or whatever.
Do you think he's a parody of that? Because they watch us a whole lot. I mean, we've always, Japan, America, we've always had this back and forth relationship of keeping an eye on each other for some reason.
Oh, I got my eye on them for sure. I don't
Do
trust
you?
them as far as I can throw them pretty far though, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah.
Do you think
Small people. Yeah.
that he's some kind of parody of History Channel dude, Ancient Aliens?
Ooh. Must be.
Because he's
I
got
was
the
thinking,
hair,
yeah,
he's
he's
got
got
that
the
crazy
hair.
ass
Yeah.
hair, and then the way he's introduced, they're like, we brought this professional science guy to tell us his theory on what the hell is going on. And he's
They're
like,
aliens.
they're aliens. And you can see they
You're
kind of
right,
go,
dude.
oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that's a good pull. I think that's probably what that is. But yeah, man, with the subplots, I would have tried to make them more self-contained short films in and of themselves. And then we get to the end. So the character development in this is really thin. I actually think it's kind of a mistake to try to backload all this stuff at the very end because we don't really get very much until characters die. That's when we find out about them. And I think that's kind of a mistake. I think some of these deaths would have been more hard-hitting if we knew less, right? So there's like parts where I would have added more and parts where I would have subtracted. And I would have subtracted, the backstory of the girl with the pottery handle on her
Yeah,
necklace,
because I would have felt bad if she died and I knew much less about her. I'd have been like, oh man, because you know that it's all for nothing. You know that she wasn't lying. You know that the game is rigged, and you know that she has a thing for the main dude. So it's like, oh, that sucks. But having this backstory, instead, what I felt was disappointment because I was like, well, you just made her my favorite character, and then you just kill
Yeah, and
her.
this movie does that a lot. That's kind of its running gag is to set something up and then cut it off with somebody being violently killed. And it's a good bit once.
Yeah.
Same with the protagonist who the female protagonist who survives to the end, who also has a thing for the main character. If we knew less about her, and if she was more of an like aggressive force, you know how she yells at him at the end? If their dynamic had always been that she talked down to him as kind of an older sister figure, I feel like that moment of vulnerability at the end where she finds out that she's pulled the popsicle stick that says you die, that would have hit a lot harder. Like if she
Yeah.
was tough, you know what I mean? Like if she was like, I'm not here for the fucking bullshit. If she had finally, if it that last moment, the facade had broken and she was like, I'm gonna be real with you. I've always been in love with you. And then her eyeballs explode or whatever. I forget what happens in the movie. I think she gets turned into like little
She
blue
likes turns
orbs.
into, yeah, she they Beauty and the Beast her ass.
You need the beast her ass. But you see what I mean? Like that would have hit because then you would have been like, oh fuck. And the character maybe would have never thought that there was a thing. He might have a crush, but that's like the unrequited thing. And then only in the moment where she's about to die, she goes, Loki, I always kind of wanted to hook up. And he's like, but no. But you see how that would have worked a little bit better? It would have been like a character development thing, Rather than as she's played, she's always kind of the damsel in distress. She doesn't do anything in the fucking movie. She brings nothing to the table. She's just there. And then she dies. So what's
Yeah.
the point? What is her point as a character?
I think that's why this genre has never really hit for me, because it's like for people who just dig the concepts, they like the games. It's like they're watching a game show versus watching a story. Like they're not engaging with a story, they're like watching Survivor, basically. And my favorite part of Survivor was always the character drama too. Which you got a lot more of, actually. Game shows actually have a lot more drama than movies like this because they're people.
Yeah, so I would put this at C tier. This is C tier Miike. It's still very much him. It's worth watching if you're on Crunchyroll and you want to watch a movie with flesh and blood people, I would say check it out. But Battle Royale does it better. Gantz does it better.
Ooh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gantz is
Like,
the perfect example of a good way to do this.
yeah, it really is. Talk about shitty characters
Yeah.
who
It's
still
got the
make you
character
feel something.
development and leans into how bleak this concept is. The bleakness is turned all the way up.
I did like at the end where you get a close up on the protagonist's face and he goes, "There is no God." And then literally behind him, God is
Is go
standing right there.
yeah. And now for the next game, God.
God.
Roll
I
credits.
was like, that's so fucking cool. And so these are all things, and this showcases how my understanding of storytelling is developing. Because I think if we had reviewed this a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have had a different take. But I'm learning more and more about storytelling. And I don't think it's necessarily infected me or made me enjoy things less, but it's kind of things that I would have dismissed as like, oh, well, that scene was a little boring, or that character didn't really work. I have the language for it now, right? And the reason why a scene is boring is because as a viewer, you need to know where that scene is, like what the point of the scene is. It has nothing to do with it being slow or meditative. You just have to have an understanding that there's going to be a point to it.
Yeah.
And when Miike's at his slowest, it's when he takes these detours. Again, this could be an East versus West type thing, where you don't know where it's going to go. And then when it's over, you're not sure where it went. That has nothing to do with being weird. It has nothing to do with, challenging the viewer at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it could be tightened up. That storytelling could be tightened up.
No, and it's pulled off right. So in the Agitator Discord, we were teasing this out and somebody brought up that it's a difference between form and formula. It's not so
Yeah.
much because we were rubbing some people the wrong way with there's a lot of artists that follow the show, a lot of creators listen to the show. So like we were rubbing people the wrong way by praising formula. And what the conversation led to is that what we're actually talking about is form, just the craft, basically, not formula so much. A formula you can see as if it's up on the board. And that's where people are like, I don't fuck with this. It's formulaic, it's predictable. But the f leaning into the form and embracing structure is more like when you do it right. They don't see the formula on the board. They just feel it. They feel not they don't feel formula. They just feel what they in like subconsciously want.
They're interested.
Yeah.
If you're pulling a magic trick off, like, it would be stupid to be like, well, that really followed the form of a magic trick. It's like, yeah, but it still fucking worked. You were still like,
You go
oh.
to a comedy show. And like,
They did a punchline
wait, yeah.
after a setup,
So if you
really?
predict the joke, or if you're, that if you predict the punch, you're like, oh, yeah, I see where this is going. And it's like, oh, ha, that, it falls flat, whatever. It's sticking to the same structure as the dude who's hilarious. But the dude who's hilarious, you're just like, he's doing it right.
Same formula or form, I should say, but not formulaic.
Yeah.
That's a really good way of putting it, actually. Stand-up comedy is a good example. But yeah, 3 stars.
Same. Yeah, three.
No. Yeah. Not a bad movie. I didn't hate it.
No, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice to look at. The games were interesting.
Yep.
CGI, perfect.
Perfect CGI. Yeah, absolutely. So for the Grant thing, should we invite Grant on to talk about it?
Ooh, what's he doing? His ass
Next
probably
week.
just got
Next
home.
week.
Oh, I thought you meant like right now.
Oh, right now? We could. I mean, I'm down. Yeah, text him. See what's up. Because the viewers have to know that a Broken River author was tangentially related to a major news story. Everybody heard about this shit.
You down to hop on right now if I send the link? We'll see.
We'll see. So I might feel bad telling his story without him here.
Yeah, we'll just bring him in. He'll be like, "All right, what's up, guys? All right, so this
You're
terrible tragedy we want." Oh,
like,
man. I thought we were gonna talk meat
content,
game.
baby. We got a Patreon, bro. People you knew and loved died. Tell us about it.
Patreon.com/agitator. What else were we about to get into? Oh man, speaking of content, there's been so much TV lately.
Shogun.
Like Shogun, The
Shogun has been.
Sympathizer,
Oh, did you watch
Fallout.
Sympathizer? I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I watched Sympathizer.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's promising. They're doing the week by week thing, which
That's cool.
that's
Whatever.
a
It's a choice.
it's a choice. I'm either or about it because people are
Fallout dropped a whole damn season, didn't they?
Obviously, people binge because they, well, I mean, they do. You hear about people watching the whole show. It makes not one lick of difference to me how you, which way you choose to, because I'm gonna be slow as shit.
Yep.
I'm on episode zero of Shogun.
Dude, Shogun is so fucking good. Ninja Kamui,
I need to catch
so
up with
fucking
that
good.
too. I was
So
just talking
fucking
to
good.
Louise the other day, and he was, Ninja Kamui came up, and I was like, "Oh shit, you're in that one too, aren't you?" He was like, "I'm the main fucking villain." I was like, "God damn it, I need to catch up with that shit."
Is that Luis? I
That's
thought his
Louise, yeah.
fucking voice sounded familiar. I thought his voice sounded familiar. Yeah, the dude with the eye. He's missing an eye. There's a great bit in Ninja Kamui because the Japanese have not quite fixed racism yet.
God bless him.
One of the bad guys is a black dude, and he's got a high top fade. So there's two parts to this. Number one, when he gets into his mech suit has a high
Has a
top
high top. Hell
fade.
yes. Hell yes. Let's
And
go.
the other thing that's great is there's a part where there's like the council of bad guys, right? They're at a round table talking about how they're going to kill the ninja. And they're like, where is Black Guy? Like, where did he go? And this like assistant very seriously goes like, he couldn't make the meeting today. He's having his daily appointment to trim up his fade.
Oh my
It's
God.
so goddamn good. But Luis is the bad guy. Of course he's the bad guy. I thought his voice sounded familiar. That's so tight.
He dropped that in the Discord forever ago. I think when they were still recording it too.
Yeah. And y'all know what that's what Luis does. He goes into the Discord and he's like, has anybody heard of this?
Ninja
And I'm
Kamui, and we're like, what the?
Ninja Kamui. I have now. But no, that show slaps so hard. It's so tight that Luis is on
It's
that
fucking
show.
huge too. That's a
He does such a good job because I watched the dub just because I knew Shannon directed it. But the dub is good, man. The dub is really good. I
Dubs
don't know
have
how
come
they
leaps
find.
and bounds.
I don't know how they find the black people though, to do the black, like, not how they find them. I know that, right? They hire them,
Yeah, and black people
but when
love
they show
anime.
them
They're
like what they're going to
right
be
there,
doing,
ready.
and they're like, yeah, you're going to be a character who wears three gold chains and has a high top fade, and talks like, I just want this fight to be beautiful. And then there's they just go like, yeah, no, that's great.
Hell
I
yeah.
love that.
Absolutely, that's how it goes down. You just
Bro,
answered your own question.
you know the anime black people are not woke at all. 'Cause they'll be shown like this grievous stereo, like a Mr. Popo stereotype. And they'll be like, oh man, come on, it's that's different. That's different.
That's exactly the noise you get, the response you get when you bring up Mr. Popo, like to any anime loving
Oh,
black.
he's an alien,
Oh,
bro. He's an
he's
alien.
an
He's
alien.
I'm like,
They
he is
a
an
fat
alien
ass
and
pickaninny
he's a pickaninny, exactly.
in a Muslim suit.
In a turban. Oh my God. That's too funny. That's too funny. Did Grant say anything? Because if not, I'm a bounce.
Nah.
All right, cool. Well,
We gave him
we'll
5 minutes. We gave him 5 minutes.
give him a solid five. We'll tease that out and see if he wants to talk about it. And then if he doesn't, then I'm
That's
gonna talk
totally
about it.
fine.
I'm gonna
Good.
talk about it
Yeah.
next episode. I'll be like, well, I will because I knew her too. And
It's really dark shit. Leaving
it's
this one
really
on a
dark.
cliffhanger.
It's super dark, but it's all grist for the content mill, I guess, which is what she would have wanted, honestly.
Oh, don't nobody care what that bitch wanted.
Yeah, fuck her.
Rest in peace.
Truly terrible person. All right. Guess that's
Well,
it.
that's it. Just like Ask the Gods Will, leaving on a note that leaves everyone confused.
Yep.